How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer here on WBEN, and we got a lot to rip through, so let's get at it.
All right.
Suburban Philadelphia's bakery, Joe, they have a cookie poll that they run every election year.
Yes.
And it's already taken off. The cookie poll in Hatboro, Pennsylvania, has accurately predicted the winner of the first three times they did this for a presidential election. It did not predict it in 2020.
Okay.
They got it wrong in 2020, but pandemic year.
Yeah. Wipe it off.
Yeah. Chalk it up to the results were not clear because no one was getting out of the house.
Yeah. A lot of weird stuff in 2020.
That's what you got to say. So this is very accurate. A Harris cookie or a Trump cookie, people drive from a couple hours away to buy the cookies, and shipment orders are coming in from as far away as Alaska. What would you do if you showed up to somebody's house and you had dinner, and then for dessert they gave you a cookie with either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris's name on it?
I would tell them this. I mean, as a political nerd that I am, number one, I'd be upset that you didn't support local business. Number two, you are inflating the Pennsylvania state poll, and I would like to know how I'd like to know how Pennsylvania is going to go. And now we all know how Alaska's going to go, Brian. Alaska's gone the exact same way every year I've been alive. So I would be a little disappointed for two reasons. You support the local business, and the Pennsylvania will decide the president. And now you're manipulating their cookie poll.
I think I'd run.
Would you run to? I have a feeling if they sent out for a Trump or Harris cookie, you would know they were that type of person before it came to the cookie.
That's probably true. That's probably pretty accurate.
If it was a Trump supporter, it would have, a flag, some signs. If it was a Harris supporter, it would have a Tim Kennedy sign, a Sean Ryan sign, and somewhere hidden in there, a Harris sign. I feel you would know. People with no political signs aren't the ones sending out for cookies.
You notice, I was actually thinking about this because I was driving around a lot yesterday, on political signs.
Yes.
In the past two election cycles, you really did not, or at least I didn't notice, driving around Western New York. I mean, the signs were pretty tilted in favor of Trump.
Yeah.
But I have noticed more Harris wall signs than I remember seeing for either Biden or Clinton.
So I remember seeing a lot for Clinton in 2016. 2020, there was no enthusiasm.
Maybe I'm just, I can't remember it.
And yeah, I mean, I'm a nerd when it comes to politics. But I will say, like you, I think I have noticed more people. I do notice Trump signs are usually standalone, right? It's a Trump flag with a Trump sign. If I see a Harris wall sign, I'd say there's a better percent chance there are other candidates surrounding. Like on my way to work, I've passed three houses that have congressional signs, Senate signs, which, I mean, come on, and a Harris wall sign. So I do notice they're usually a house that's obviously into all the elections. Trump, my front yard included, it's usually just the Trump flag. I have a garden flag, or the Trump sign.
I don't think you can do the sign thing anymore. I think you used to get a pretty accurate idea of, where an area might lean, by driving around or walking around looking at the signs in everyone's lawn.
Oh yeah.
I don't think that's the case anymore. I think it's just become too much where now, the new sign battle is, are you a bill sign or are you a political sign?
Yeah, more bills.
There's more, and more people have gone I'm not going to do the political sign anymore. Just give me the football one.
Back in the day, I had a neighbor who would put both presidential candidates' sign in their yard. They didn't want people to know where they stood.
I like it.
Yeah.
I might do that. I'm not a sign person. I might just put everyone's sign.
Yeah, but you're not going to vote for any of the major candidates.
So? Give me all of them. Give me all of them.
Yeah, I'll RFK put them all down. Sign in Brian's front yard.
Yeah, I want every single person running. They'll all be represented, and
you
want to
be like Jimmy with radio station bumper stickers. You want to collect political signs?
No, it's just like, all right, you know this. All right, this house wants to tell you who to vote for. That house wants to tell you who they support. I just want you to know your options.
I like that. You're
just
a man.
Don't be surprised.
You're a man of the community.
I'll just put a, you know, a. I like that. I think I'm going to have to start collecting signs.
Yeah.
I would never pay for one though. That's a big.
Yeah, I think you can just go to headquarters and get signs.
The last sign I put that wasn't just a Bills thing or Josh Allen jumping over my hedges, I think was Save the Riv in the 2020s.
Very important.
But, you know, political stuff, it just doesn't find its way in my yard. Every sign might be...
There you go. I got my garden flag from a store in Myrtle Beach. I was like, I have to buy this.
What if I just have November 5th is Election Day?
I mean, just
an informative, add that, and then everyone sign.
November 5th is Election Day, but you can vote early.
Here are the options.
Yeah.
I like that. But I think it's a little less reliable, though.
The sign. Yeah, I agree.
Than it ever used to be. I did notice yesterday, it is one, generally speaking... Now, I said there's a lot more Harris signs than I think there were Biden signs in 2020 than I think there were. I think you think I might be misthinking this one.
It was also
one.
8 years ago.
It was 8 years ago. It's tough for me around. But I think there's more Harris than there were Clinton in 2016. I was driving down North French yesterday. That is, I can tell you what way that street's voting.
Oh, yeah.
That's Harris Walls Central.
I was going to say. You drive down my street, you can tell which way my street's going. The opposite.
But it was like I'm driving. I got the banners. I got the signs. I'm like, wow, this is the stronghold right here.
So you're saying that you are seeing evidence that the Democrats doing the switcheroo is actually paying off because there's actually enthusiasm.
Yeah. And there were no Biden signs before.
No.
Unless it was accompanied by another word.
Or supporters. Because mostly they were just not liking Trump. That's why they were voting for Biden.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't see it before. But I saw it a lot last night. Anyways, so Pennsylvania, you can get your cookie. Don't serve them to me at the dinner party, but...
No, but again, if someone after dinner says, here's a Trump... Like, if you came to my house and I said, here's a Trump cookie, you're not going to be surprised. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Trump supporters who are going to go for cookies, or Harris supporters, you would expect the cookie before you were served the cookie. That's all I'm going to say.
I'd be surprised that you were eating the cookies with all the weight you've dropped.
Well, I can't eat the cookies. Yeah. Doesn't mean I can't serve the cookies.
That's why you're giving them away.
Doesn't mean I can't serve them.
You add something. Whitney Houston. You can buy a piece of Whitney Houston history. What's this?
Now, I love Whitney Houston. Okay? And people have heard, you know, when her the day that she left us way too early comes around, I will always play a Whitney Houston bump. But the Whitney Houston award she won, Brian, you'll remember this, from the MTV Europe Music Award in 1999. She won the award. I think it was for Best Comeback, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, Best R&B for Heartbreak Hotel. It's going on
Elvis?
Auction. What's that?
Elvis's song?
No, she had one. It's Just a Heartbreak Hotel.
Nah, I don't know.
No. We'll play it.
I know Elvis.
Yeah, both great songs.
Okay.
It's going on auction today, and it's up for $42,500 now, and that auction will be going for the next month. And I love Whitney Houston. I don't need her MTV Europe Award.
How the heck? So your choice is brand new SUV or Whitney Houston's European, it's not even the MTV like Video Music Award. It's the MTV Europe Award,
right?
For a cover of an Elvis song.
It was not a cover of an Elvis song,
but and you have to choose between the two. And I find it very hard to believe that somebody's picking the little statue. Is it one of those spacemen?
No, this one a little.
It's
different.
Not even a spaceman.
No, it's not even the one that you know and love. It's the Earth. With like the slink looks like a like waves coming from MTV.
Okay.
It looks like something I could put together. And again, I love Whitney and the idea
it's
that
like
she
a fifth grade class project.
Yes, and the fact that she went and she won this award. Hey, I would cherish this. No offense to Whitney. God bless her. I'm not paying $42,500. I will just listen to the second best movie soundtrack of all time, The Bodyguard, and I'll get the same enjoyment.
What is, so you're a music super fan. For a second there, I thought it was $4,200. So this question would be way off.
$42,500.
I was going to ask you, would you rather have something the artist owned, or there's a Jack White signature guitar that was just released, and it's, you know, guitars get pretty expensive. It's like $3,000 or something like that. He didn't actually own it, but he designed it and everything. There's only, I don't know how many thousand they made.
And he signed the actual guitar?
No, he didn't sign it. He has no, like, there's no personal, it's designed by him.
Okay.
But you're like a music super fan. Like, what's the money better spent on, like, a thing that somebody held, but it's a stupid trophy, or like this actual thing? It's a replica of what he actually plays on stage. But considering one is actually 10 times the price of the other,
yeah,
it throws my question out the window. It's not the only thing up for purchase. We talked about this last week. The Shohei Ohtani home run baseball that founded the 50-50 club, which is 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases, the only player ever to do it, is up for sale. Did not take long. In less than a week, Golden Auctions auctioning off the ball beginning at noon tomorrow. Opening bid starts at $500,000, but you don't even have to bid. You got a buy it now option. $4.5 million. If you want to buy it now. But if bidding reaches $3 million before October 9th, that option will be removed. If it sells for $4.5 million or more, it would shatter the record for a baseball, which is just over $3 million. That was paid for Mark McGwire's 70th home run in 1998. Is this ball worth more than that ball?
Yes.
Like, if that, now, it's worth more. That ball was sold $3 million at the time. But if it were to be sold again, you know, the two were up side by side, this Shohei Ohtani ball, you think would be more?
I think so. And that might be recency bias. It might be. But I think
that plays into it.
Yeah, I definitely think recency bias. You know, the first to ever do it. And I mean, just, I mean, Shohei Ohtani is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Except Mark McGwire was not the last to hit 70.
Right. He's also not in the Hall of Fame. And some people
should be.
You're not going to get
it's a memorable thing.
You're not going to get an argument out of me. I it was an era of baseball, and I think he, Sosa, Bonds brought a lot of people, brought a lot of butts back to the seats that had been gone since.
It's
the
one
strike.
Of those things that, like, 20 years from now, I'll still remember Mark McGwire, and that I don't think I'll remember the Shohei Ohtani thing. I'm not a baseball guy, but that's of memorable moments. The McGwire one out to me.
See, I think for baseball fans, both will be very memorable. That's why I think you have to factor in the recency bias. And I think Ohtani's ball today,
yeah,
to people who have the money. I mean, we're talking to people who don't have the money. People who have the money, I think they're going to put more on Ohtani. And again, you know, he starts pitching again next year. What kind of mixed stats records is he going to break next year with his rehabilitated arm, and obviously having one of the best offensive years in his career?
So I think you're probably right on that, especially with the recency stuff. My big takeaway was the guy who is now suing over this ball, because he claims the ball was actually taken out of his hands. That's right. There was an 18-year-old fan who was in the crowd too, who he said he had hands on the ball, and the ball is actually mine, and he's trying to take it to court to stop the auction from taking place starting tomorrow. Did you see the video, Joe?
After you mentioned it, I did see the video, and this guy drawing attention to himself, I agree with you, Brian, he should just have stayed quiet. It's not his ball. I'm sorry. It's not his ball. He put a very weak effort into getting this ball.
Yeah. So this guy, I watched the video of this whole thing happening because I had to see, all right, who's the rightful owner of the ball? You know who, I mean, first off, you know who the rightful owner of the ball is? The guy who gets the ball.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you know who caught the ball? The guy who has the ball in his hand at the end of the day. That's real.
I mean, that's true in football on the field, and it's true in baseball off the field.
You watch this video, though, and it is, I mean, it's easy for me to sit here and say it's embarrassing, but, like, come on, you'd be doing the exact same thing if you were right there. It's just grown men jumping over tables and each other, trying to get their hands on this home run ball. I mean, it's a sight to behold. It's unbelievable. And you have one guy, I mean, this guy got, you know, it. I mean, he was all in.
Right.
He's at the bottom of this dog pile, hovering over it. I mean, protecting it better than I've ever seen anyone protect a ball before.
He knew what he had.
And he has it. Then there's this other young guy, which hit the gym, bud, because, I mean, if this isn't your sign to do so, it'll never happen for you. Who, it looks like he reaches in and tries to rip it out of this guy's hand and fails. And that's the guy who's complaining that it was his ball. Come on.
No. Yeah. And by the way, in that situation, you know what you're looking at. I mean, you're looking at potentially $4 million in front of you. Yeah, you're jumping on that ball, Brian. You probably would make a fool of yourself.
The Dodgers apparently offered him $300,000. That's not even, you won't even be able to put a bid in.
No.
Auction starts at $500.
$500. You can purchase it at $400. Doesn't Magic Johnson have more money? Can't he throw some money at this guy?
You would think so. But that's a pretty, like, in the moment, you're in that chaotic moment. Somebody, you know, right away offers you $300,000.
I probably, because I am all about now, the for sure thing, and that's before this auction.
The impulse, I think, would take a lot of people.
Yes.
And you might do that right away.
Oh, if it was the Mets, and I, like I texted you last week, if it was the Mets and I caught a ball and the Mets came to me and say, hey, we'll give you this amount of money. And Brian, you know what I want? I want the golden ticket. You give me the 300,000, you give me 250, 250,000 in a golden ticket. You got the ball because I can pay off all my debts. I don't want to quit my job. I have a golden ticket. Let's go.
That's an insane thing to say.
I'm being 100% honest.
I know.
I'm not just doing it for
effect. You know why I say it's an insane thing to say? Because it's an insane thing to say, like, premeditated. See, if you did that in the moment, I could understand it. Because in the moment, somebody's saying, $250,000, here you go. And then you can come to the game whenever you'd like. I can see in that hectic moment, you being like, yeah, $250,000, sure. Like, without thinking about it. You're thinking about it and saying, yeah, give me $250,000 instead of $4 million, no, as long as I get to go to any game
and
I want.
And there's only so many MLB golden tickets. It's a real thing. It's a real thing.
I understand.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That's been a life goal of mine.
Okay, with $4 million, you could go to any baseball game you'd want to go to.
Yeah, but I also...
And you'd also have, did I mention, $4 million... To you think you are set up with $250,000, $4 million will take care of you.
If Francisco Lindor hits a career milestone, a record-breaking home run, and the Mets come to me and say Francisco wants this ball back, we'll give you $250,000 and a golden ticket. I, as a fan, would not be able to watch him the same again, knowing that this is something he really wants.
You are right. You would not be able to watch him the same again because you'd actually be watching him on a much bigger TV in your big house now that you're a multimillionaire.
Yeah, but I would also hope, we all know how much money Ohtani made so much money, he deferred the rest of his contract.
Yeah.
He could have given this fan.
$700 million player.
If he cared that much. Maybe Ohtani is like Aaron Judge and says, hey, he can get a lot more out of it than I can. And if that's so... Respect to Ohtani and respect to this guy.
He doesn't need the baseball.
I'm just saying, if someone approached me and that golden ticket was in there, that's been a lifelong goal of mine. And there's nothing else going on in my life that's going to get me the golden ticket.
Having $4 million would. It might not be gold, but you'd have tickets to any game you want to go to.
Yes, I get the
point. You'd also be able to not work all the time. See, here's the problem with your thinking. You said you still would go in and do your job.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to have the days off to go to all the games you wanted to go to because you still kept your job instead of the payday.
That's true as well.
803-0930 if you want to join us today, talking about a number of different things. B-Maz and Beamer on WBEM. Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beam.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
We're here with you on WBEN. Joe would take 10% of a total payout if he meant he got a golden ticket.
Yes.
For a baseball game. We're talking about this home run baseball again because it's up for auction. The buy it now price, $4.5 million. Opening bid starts at $500,000. The Dodgers offered this fan, apparently. Now, this is, I read this on the internet, so take it for what it's worth. The Dodgers offered this fan $200,000. And I did say in the moment, like it would be, I could see somebody easily like $200,000, like everything's so crazy. It's very hectic. It's all happening at once. You got a million things going through your head. Somebody is, you know, somebody with a suit is handing you a $200,000 check right there.
Magic came up to them and said, hey, here's 200,000.
Like, I could see somebody being like, yeah, and doing it, right? You would do it having thought about it, though, which I can't see.
Yeah, I've put this together, and someone says it would cost me more to go to New York City. It wouldn't be just for the Mets. An MLB golden ticket is anywhere, and that, again, yes, I can't travel to every game if I only take the 250, but say I'm in L.A., or I'm in Atlanta, and you know the Dodgers are home, or the Mets are traveling, and I happen to be there, or I do a
so you happen to be in L.A.,
or I happen, or I do a trip around two Mets series, and I you know can sit anywhere in the stadium. Like yeah, to me, and it's always been on my mind. And let's be honest, I'm not going to achieve any other thing in my life. So
you know,
this
you could
be,
also do is exactly what you said.
Yeah, I know with the $4 million. Yes. I understand, but also I do believe in
it's
the franchise having the history.
It's like somebody is offering you. It's like, hey, here you go. You could have yours a $500 Target gift card, or we can give you $500. And you're like, you know what? The gift card, please, because I could go to any Target and spend this money. That's exactly what you're saying.
Eventually, the $4 million will go away. The golden ticket won't.
Not if you do it right.
Yeah. You know what? I saw this yesterday. It was a multimillionaire, and someone says, "If you're really a millionaire, give me $100 million." And he said, "Fine, but I want to switch bodies because you have something I'll never have, and that's time because you're half my age.
What?
And you have this time to make the money back. To make the
Hallmark
money.
Hallmark started their Christmas movies already. What the heck are you watching?
You have time to make the money, which again goes along this. I'm still pretty young. I have time to invest my money well. I may never get the option to get this again. That's really what it comes down to. It is different than a Target gift card.
You would have time, you're right, to invest $4.5 million very well.
Yeah, or blow it.
Actually, which one are you more confident that Joe would do? 8030930.
And the golden ticket I could give to my son, who probably won't even like baseball. But I could say, hey, here. This is my golden ticket.
Thanks. You know what? I would have rather had Dad a 10 mil in the bank. You know what I could have done with that? Go to a baseball game. Yeah. What were you doing? That's a hilarious thought. It's like down the line. It's like, yeah.
My son getting mad at
my dad,
me now?
He could have had, you know, millions of dollars.
Took a stupid golden ticket with his name on it.
Instead, we're going to baseball games.
I think it's great.
Well, 8030930, if you want to weigh in on this or anything else that we're talking about this morning, which includes some of the stories that you heard this morning on WBEN. Joe, I was very perplexed.
Yes.
When I saw this, that the DEC was launching an online survey about rock salt use and looking at perhaps reducing the use of salt on the roads and everywhere else. And if you go to our story at WBEN.com, you might have as many questions as I do. The quote at the top, it's a balancing act between protecting the environment and safe travel. Okay. The DEC is holding an online survey looking at ways to reduce rock salt use. They say, while rock salt is effective in melting snow and ice, there are negative environmental impacts. The negative impacts include... Well, I'm looking here for them, Joe. I can't really see a ton. Somebody's going to have to explain it better to me. But the positive impacts include you not slamming into somebody else's car from November to March every single year.
Yeah, as someone who, back when I was 19, lost control of my mother's SUV at the time and hit a guardrail in outside of Hamilton, Ontario, a half a mile from where Tim Horton had his tragic accident, I am all for using rock salt. And if you're upset of what it does to your car, get your car washed, right? There's reasons the car wash doesn't close at the end of summer. It's to keep the salt off your car. I'm all for responsible use of rock salt, but I'm sorry, and please don't make this more than it is. I'm going to take less car accidents, less people falling on their butts than maybe reducing what it does to the environment. I'm all for safety in the moment. I don't want to hear Alan Harris reporting more accidents this winter because we're using less rock salt. We see the alternatives in other places. Guess what? They don't work. We've all been in Virginia. I was in Richmond, Virginia one week, when it snowed, and they don't use salt, Brian. So guess what? 2 inches of snow, the city shut down. By noon, the snow that was on the ground had melted, but they had shut everything down because they don't use rock salt on the roads. So you know what? I will take a little hurting of the environment for safe travel because we can't shut down every time we get 2 inches of snow.
So
there's my survey, DEC.
You said we've all been there. I actually haven't. I don't think I've really driven in like snowy or winter conditions outside of Buffalo that much before. In like Pennsylvania, but I'm pretty sure they salt the roads there, too.
Especially northern Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So I don't really know. I'm interested in hearing from people. 8030930, if you are anywhere where they use something different. So some of the other things they're talking about using here is a brine alternative. They say it's like a salty water solution applied to the road in advance of storms. A new road salt truck, plow truck technologies to be able to place down at a certain rate a certain amount of rock salt. I mean, that's fine, right? You want to efficiently use your salt. That would make sense. Identifies colder spots on roadways where there's need for more salt or less salt, as opposed to just kind of throwing it around. I mean, that is the thing. Like, it's not like we love salt.
No.
Kind of hate it.
Yes.
It's a hate thing going on here. We hate the salt and we hate slipping.
Yeah.
Which one do you hate more?
And guess what? It's not just the environment, allegedly, that's taking a hit. We all know what the front of our house looks like, or the back door, wherever we do our walking in, right? Halfway through the winter, you got to get on your hands and knees, and you got to get the soap and the water, and you got to clean the heck out of where the salt has accumulated. It gets in the dog's paws. Yes, it sucks. It's awful. But the alternative is even worse.
Yeah, no one likes the salt. And there's got to be a way that they can do it better. You can go through this place in the winter. The way that salt is just dumped out everywhere.
Yeah.
Or it's in like one huge pile and then over here is a patch of ice.
Yeah. Over here is...
There's got to be a better way to do it.
A better way to dispense the salt?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they use the same trucks in this parking lot as they do on the street.
What's the alternative? Heated roads?
Well, you know, they said that we were going to have that day.
Is that coming anytime soon? Can I bank on that?
Well, I mean, we can't even repair the roads evenly. I'm not putting much hope in the heated roads.
But I cannot wrap my head around because somebody's paying for this. You know, these surveys aren't cheap.
No.
And we're thinking about this over and over and over again. But now it's just part of the education and outreach campaign on getting rid of salt. I still don't have a clear answer as to the harm the salt is doing. I know the harm it does to the underside of your car, but the harm it does to the environment, I'm not so sure. I feel like the car crashes and the litter left over might do more harm. But we're balancing whatever environmental impact it has to safety on the roads, I feel like that scale is pretty uneven, right?
Yeah. In Japan, Brian, now Indiana did the same study 2 years ago. In 2022, they did a more effective and ways to use less salt. They did study the use of electrical heat stream or directed solar radiation to melt snow. This is what they do in Japan and some European countries. By the way, that was 2 years ago. Guess what Indiana uses to melt their snow? Salt. So after all this, they still went back to what we use, and that's salt.
Somebody on our text board, 803-0930, to weigh in here. Someone saying they lived in D.C. The ice and snow shut them down all the time. Keep the salt.
Yep.
Somebody else saying, Brian ruined your car. I mean, it sounds like it would kind of have the same corrosive effect on the car, just, you know, for my one sentence definition of what the brine would be. Somebody else saying, why can't we use sand? Just again, I'm no road engineer or anything. That's why we're posing the question. Sand wouldn't seem to make sense to me. To increase the traction? Are you actually melting anything with the sand? I don't think so. And then the sand kind of just stays on the road or then washes into the sewer system, and then you got a bunch of sand there.
Yeah,
really dissipate.
There are some states that use a sand mixture. I'm not sure exactly what's in that sand mixture, but it's not as effective. There's a reason we use salt. Like, yes, do I think there should be better ways to dispense it? Of course. But then again, Brian, okay, we say use less salt. They don't pre-treat because we're not really sure the storm's going to come. Should we really lay the salt down? And then it does, you know what I mean? Like, there are consequences to not continue doing it the way it's done now. Like I said, if you worry about your car, you take your car to the car wash. If they're worried about the environment, I don't know what to tell you. But we can't risk more accidents. And I'm sorry, I love Earth, I love the environment, I recycle. But what good is the environment if we're slamming into guardrails every time it snows?
What, you have to pick one for the rest of your life. No salt or only paper straws.
So if we keep the salt, I have to drink through paper?
Yeah.
I don't need a straw.
No, you have to.
I have to drink through a
straw? Every drink.
But I don't even drink through straws.
Every drink from November 15th to March 15th, you have to drink through a paper straw.
I'll take the paper straw. I'd rather struggle to drink my liquid than smash my brand new car.
I tend to agree with you.
Well, new to me, it's a used car. I don't want to oversell, but I don't want to smash my car.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you.
I've been in that accident, and there's nothing worse than knowing.
Oh, there's a scary. I have narrowly avoided that so many times.
I did not.
Like by the grace of God, on an overpass. You know, this freezes faster than the road that you get
you
told
just
all the time.
That sign.
And I didn't even ignore the sign, but you're just. I mean, it's one of those things. You're driving. You're not even really moving. You're going in a straight line, not even going that fast. And all of a sudden, it's just lose control, started skidding out, narrowly avoided a guard. I can't believe it happened. I remember another time driving when I was in college, going through a college parking lot. And they did not do a good job salting over there, apparently, because I was sliding and I was like so close to just smashing. And you're helpless in that situation. You're so close to just smashing into, I think it was another car just parked there. And I'm like, oh no, this is like the worst thing. Like, what can I do? And just stopped right before that.
That is the best feeling, by the way.
Oh my, the relief.
Yeah.
Is unbelievable.
So 2009, 2010, I can't remember. It was around New Year's of one of those years. And driving up to Toronto, and I'm on the QEW when you come off an overpass. So the car starts slipping, obviously, where it gets, icier quicker. But and I'm losing. I'm going, okay, we're fine. We get on back on the road. We're off the overpass, back on the road. And I was like, that was a close call. I thought I had gained control of it. Before I could even think, Brian, I go from the middle lane right into the guardrail, and the car spins around twice, and there we are. And then, like 2 minutes later, someone came and from the other side slid right into the car, totaled the car, had to have it towed back to the States. Which, by the way, as much as I love Canada and visiting our Canadian friends, it is not easy or inexpensive. Now I was in college, so for my parents, to tow a car back from Canada.
Yeah.
Because they have contracts. So if you get in an accident on the QEW, Canada tows you off. And then you have to put it together. And there's not many people that will actually take your car over the bridge.
My wife's old car, a long time ago, and it was an old car then. We were on the Peace Bridge, hot day in the summer, waiting at customs going into Canada. So we were in Canada when it happened. The car, all of a sudden we're like, that smells weird. Does it smell like fish or something like that? That's like funny. We're laughing about it. And then we see the hood start to smoke.
Oh.
And we're in line. At customs, and like the hood's smoking, we're like, I'm like, turn the car off. Like, what are you gonna do? And then we're next, and like we're a little far away, and all of a sudden, I'm like, what do we do here? Because you're still young, you're crossing the border like by yourself for one of the first times, and I'm like, well, I got to get out of the car. I'm like, hey, can't turn this car on. Gotcha. Border agent, very nice, helped me get out of the car. We pushed it through. They didn't even check our ID.
Oh, wow.
Like, you might want to do that next time. But anyway, and, call the towing company. Able to get it there. I mean, it took a couple of days. Luckily, we were staying for a couple of days. Get it to a place there, have it fixed, and then drive it back home. And so didn't have to tow it across the border or anything like that.
It had Canadian parts.
Yeah, but it worked for a while.
That's good.
With the Canadian parts. So they're doing something right up there. But
yeah.
That was like one of those... Yikes.
That's a scary. So my PT Loser, towards the end of its life, which it didn't even get to 100,000 miles, it would be, if I was sitting in traffic too long, it would start overheating. So I got to the point where I would just be sweating my you-know-what off because I'd have to turn the heat on to regulate the engine.
Yeah. That's the worst. That's
a great show right there. Stories of our first few cars that we just
pushed. Well, I was
going to
say, we're talking about slipping and sliding on the roads, the snow tires. But then I looked at the time. I was looking at the time to see how much time we had left. We don't have enough time. But also the date. I don't want to do that just yet. September. I don't want to be talking about snow and ice.
Well, you know what I'm about to say. Less than 3 months till Christmas.
Yeah, I know. If the person came to you and they said, all right, Joe, we're going to give you caught the ball. We'll give you $200 plus or $200,000 plus you get to be in one Hallmark Christmas movie a year.
A year?
Mm. Don't they make like seven of them a year?
Yeah, it's probably more than that. Well, that's... See, I'm not a good actor, and I have a perfect face for radio, so I don't want to ruin people's Christmas movies.
I'll give you $200,000 and five new Christmas trees. You taking that deal?
No, I want my golden ticket.
Okay.
I love Christmas, but I want my golden ticket.
I mean, I would like the golden ticket, just not in place of
in that scenario.
$5 million.
I get it, yeah.
I would take the cash.
I also want, you know, I think if it's a historic ball, it should be in the Hall of Fame or somewhere within the franchise.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
Does the Baseball Hall of Fame have most of these, like, historic artifacts, or are they in the hands of, like, private collectors?
A lot of them, but yeah, ones that, you know, more recent ones are with private collectors. Like, this is a piece of the bat. The Hall of Fame might get it, right?
Yeah.
But now even game-used bats are getting chopped up and put on trading cards.
Shoved in a card.
Yeah, a card's not good enough anymore. Now you need pieces of jerseys, pieces of balls, pieces of bats, pieces of the hat.
All goes in there. Anyways.
By the way, the MLB, disastrous job handling the Braves-Mets series that now will be a doubleheader next Monday.
Oh, no. We'll be back here tomorrow.
Playoff implications
tomorrow, and you got David Bellavia coming up next after the news. BMaz and Beamer on WBEN.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.